our speaker for today. It's our own Alan, and I don't have your last name.
Witham.
Alan Witham. Alan began constructing ways to demonstrate physics principle in seventh grade.
Holy moly.
In eighth, he was making computer devices. In ninth, decimal to binary converters and electronic computers. After college, he served 2.5 year apprenticeship with Danish carpenter, then went into trades and ran a small business for 30 years. Alan has developed system for compost producing and have several other products he produces. At the same time, he was digging into religions, mysticism, Zen, Buddhism, Christianity, Native American, Sufism, with a focus on meditation and poetry. Over the years, he and his wife Mary have constructed a hermitage, biological research and retreat facility in Bunnell, Florida. They recently added 2 sandhill cranes. They consider them their friends, Carl and Ellie, in producing 6 offspring. That's a big deal. They are currently working on creating a Taoist research retreat facility in Western North Carolina. Please help me welcome Alan, our own Alan. Yes, I will. Okay, let's wire it.
Thank you. Can anybody hear me? Is that working?
Not yet.
No? Now a little better?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak in front of you all this morning. As we all know, where 2 or more are gathered, the Holy Spirit's in our midst. I'd like to let us pray. Great Spirit, infinite, incomprehensible mystery, my Lord, sweet Jesus, Onwe Hanwe, please come into this room and bless us, and bless all beings on this planet. May it be so. I'd like to thank my sweetheart here, Mary, for putting up with me these last 2 or 3 weeks. I think she has quantum mechanics coming out of her ears, and I think there's probably quantum enigmas on the floor and in the food. I think she's heard it so much. I want to thank her for putting up with me these last few weeks. A little bit about myself. To quote Oscar Wilde, I can really relate to him. I live in constant fear that somebody is going to understand me. Some people refer to me as Mr. Opprobrium, which kind of means irritating and button pushing. But actually, opprobrium lies in the dictionary somewhere between opportunity and problem. That's kind of the way I look at it. Quantum mechanics is such an exciting topic. The developments are utterly amazing, and they question our very ideas of reality. It's going to be a hard slog this morning, so try to bear with me. This is an interesting topic to try to talk about. Some definitions. Let's see. Before we go any further, I feel safe with you all. I don't feel like anybody's going to cut my budding wings, so. There. Okay, quantum. It's amount of something indivisible. It's an indivisible unit of energy. A photon is a quantum of the electromagnetic spectrum. So a quantum is like a bunch. And a photon is not just light. It's a unit of energy for all the electromagnetic spectrum. Quantum theory of the structure and behavior of atoms, and mainly its subatomic small particles, and it has to fit into mathematical equations. So basically, classical physics is the study of big stuff like sunlight, gravity, the spinning of the planets, the sun, whereas quantum mechanics is a study of small things. To start out, to give you a little basis, the physicists believe that they can understand the universe in words and thoughts, and they can also put it into mathematics. Now, mysticism. It's a spiritual discipline aiming at union with the divine through deep meditation or trance-like contemplation. Any belief in the existence of realities beyond perception or intellectual comprehension, but central to being and directly accessible by intuition or direct experience. You know, in ancient times, people used intuition and gut feelings to do a lot more in their lives. And at some point in time in history, it was interesting because they sort of changed the words on us and did a flip-flop. And they called intellect, they called intuition and gut feelings intellect. And now we don't really look at it that way anymore. We look at it as intellect is separate than our intuition and our gut feelings. So if something, sort of like they pulled the carpet out from us. The Chinese people believe that poetry is the most precise of languages. So I'd like to read a poem to you. This is called Join Me in the Pure Atmosphere. I slip in and out of the sea at night with this amazed soul I have. I am like a magnificent magic ocean turtle who sets aside his vast wings of blue effulgence. When I crawl upon your shores to leave my divine seed of verse. Let me remain cryptic tonight, all the way till dawn as I orbit God in this holy ecstatic mood. Grab hold of the corners of my luminous tender shell and I will whirl for you. For I am covered with eminent crystals that I have gathered from the infinite depths of love. Follow my tracks in the sand that lead beyond thought and space. For I can see deep down that you are really a golden bird that needs to dance. With your spirit enraptured and ascending on the currents of light, on the currents of his breath, join me with your hands, wings, hoofs, or fins in my sublime applause. Join me in the pure atmosphere of gratitude for life. I slip in and out of the moon each night with a gracious ease with this brilliant heart I have. The beautiful friend, the exquisite one, sometimes steps from his invisible body and walks upon our shore so that we might see and know his radiant, tender shell, his eminent crowns that are the three worlds. Oh, grab hold of the hem of his skirt as he spins this universe on an emerald divine dance floor. Cling to the transcendent elements in his glance as the beloved forever whirls his love. Hafiz slips in and out of God at night, tied to his own amazed soul. I think I forgot to say who it was by in the beginning. It's by Hafiz, and the book is entitled The Subject Tonight is Love. 60 wild and sweet poems of Hafiz. He what? Friend of yours?
He translated all of that and put that book together.
Yeah, and he's a friend of...
He's a friend of mine, yeah, a lot of time.
Whoa! Daniel Ladinsky, it was like, whew.
Yeah, yeah. I knew him when you couldn't understand him talking, he started so bad. Yeah, that was before he started.
His poems are killer.
Yes.
Okay, now let's see what the quantum enigma is. As we move into these absurd instruments. One of the instruments is the Large Hadron Collider on the border of France and Switzerland. This sucker is 17 miles in diameter. I'm going to pass this paper around. It's got a diagram of the area. This thing, it's 17 miles underground. It's the world's most powerful particle collider. The cost to operate it is $1 billion a year. It generates or uses 3.5 tetra electron volts, which is, I think it's a lot, but I really don't know how much it is. The computing, it's generating tens of petabytes per year, which I don't quite understand, but the largest computing grid setting a world record, it's a network of 170 computing centers in 36 different countries in order to digest the information that this collider is generating. These guys aren't fooling around at all. You know, the instruments they're using in quantum mechanics to find these things out and uncover these principles. They're able to measure stuff like if you had a steel rod from Seattle to Miami, they could measure it within a hair's breadth as to how long it is. So they're able to measure protons and electrons. They're able to measure the weight of them, the spin of them, everything about them. The quantum enigma is that physics has led quantum mechanics, and quantum mechanics is finding out that understanding the universe is leading to phenomena that are beyond our comprehension. I'm not here to try to prove the enigma. I've been watching this for many, many years. In 1918, it was evident to Max Planck and Einstein, who were just starting out with some new theories, and they already knew that the enigma was on the horizon because they were seeing things that weren't adding up. And more so today, because we've made so many vast technological advances, they didn't have $10 billion proton colliders back in 1918. So actually with this new instruments, they're finding more enigmas. Quantum mechanics is beyond doubt the most accurate and sophisticated scientific theory ever devised by man. That's a quote from Wolfgang Smith. All of physics is based on quantum theory. It's the most battle-tested theory in all of science. One-third of our economy is based on quantum mechanics development. It's brought us MRIs, lasers, solar cells, LEDs, cell phones, superconductors, transistors, microprocessors, electron microscopes, and more. This is very real stuff, including the 19 pounds of plutonium that had such horrific effects on the people of Hiroshima. Now, Max Planck won the Nobel Prize for black body radiation in 1918. And Einstein won the Nobel Prize in 1921 for the photoelectric effect. And like I said before, the findings of both these guys back then was what started quantum mechanics, and they were already seeing the enigma on the horizon because things weren't adding up. Black body radiation is basically, it's like a piece of iron. You heat it up and it becomes red hot, and you heat it up and more and it becomes white hot, and you heat it up more and it becomes blue hot. Part of his work, he was commissioned to get the maximum efficiency and light out of a light bulb. This guy here, it's a fluke. It's actually made by the Fluke Company. air conditioning contractors, plumbers, scientists, everybody uses it. The temperature of the ceiling is exactly 76 degrees. The temperature of the rug is 76. The wall is 75.6. My hand is 91.6. Barbara's shoe is 82.4. It has a little readout on it. And it shows what the temperature is on whatever you're pointing it at. The reason this works is it was based on black body radiation, and it has a little laser that's pointing at things, and that's also one of the developments of quantum mechanics. The photoelectric effect is basically that certain metals will release electrons when you shine a light on them, or that you could say they're producing electric current. This is where our solar panels came from that are on roofs producing electricity. Now, it's going to get a little bit harder now. So hold on to your, put your seatbelts on. Okay, the quantum enigma, let's imagine a particle that's spinning and they split it in half. So they've got two particles now that are spinning. And they can let them separate in space, so they're no longer together. Okay. Now they stop this one particle from spinning, and the other particle stopped immediately. Not a second, no time, absolutely at the same instant. And this could be a foot apart, or it could be 100,000 miles apart. It doesn't matter. This is an example of showing entanglement, which demonstrates that everything is connected. The Bohm interpretation of quantum mechanics, which requires that all particles in the universe be able to instantly exchange information with all others. The one and the many interpenetrate and mingle beyond distinction. This also brings up Einstein's, he had a saying way back because he saw this, but he didn't like it, and he called it spooky action at a distance. An example of that, an example of what we're talking about, entanglement and connection, is if there's somebody in Chicago and he makes a decision in his life, it affects somebody else that's in Australia. Einstein's known to have said, this is a strangely persistent illusion that we're separate. So, another experiment, okay, is this one here. What they did was they had a plate with two slits in it, and then they had a screen behind it. And they fired electrons through one slit, and it made the image of a slit on the screen. Okay, then they fired electrons through both slits, and it didn't make an image of two rectangles on a screen. It made an image of stripes on the screen. So this is an example of entanglement. Now, to go a little further, if somebody is here watching the screen as they're shooting electrons through, it changed the outcome of the experiment. So we already looked at entanglement, that everything's connected, and you can't take something out of this and say it's by itself. This shows that an observer can affect the outcome of the experiment. This also brings up can consciousness affect reality? And what is consciousness? And science hasn't been able to even touch that one yet.
What is reality?
And yet, you can't understand entanglement. It's hard to get your mind around it, but plants can use entanglement to convert sunlight into energy. And it's like, we can't understand it, but plants can utilize it to do that. most of the mainstream religions out there right now are not aware of the implications of quantum mechanics. Most of the universities do not want their professors to discuss or promote the quantum enigma. Their motto is, shut up and calculate. Max Planck said, eventually science will explain all the miracles away one by one. Well, that hasn't happened. Quantum mechanics is pointing at a realm where miracles are possible. Wolfgang Smith also said that the question of the reality problem with the quantum enigma is beyond doubt the most universally significant question hard science has ever posed. Physicist Nick Herbert said that the physicists have lost their grip on reality. There's an old proverb that one day, when a carrot is freshly observed, it will cause a revolution. The day will come when a carrot is freshly observed that it will cause a revolution. This carrot can utilize entanglement to create energy from the sun. This carrot has DNA in it that is just a little bit different than our DNA. If you change our DNA just a tiny bit, you get a yeast plant. This carrot represents technology that is so advanced that it's beyond our comprehension. It's possible to understand these facts, but we can't believe them. Okay. Let's take a break from the tedium of words and get some refreshment from mysticism. Let's close our eyes and focus on our breathing. Let's do some belly breathing for 1 minute while Mary plays her flute. Let's feel the expansiveness of our true selves. Just let go of the past and the future for 1 minute. Thank you, Mary. Basically, quantum mechanics is discovering facts about phenomena that can't be understood with thoughts, words, or mathematics. So what does this mean for us? Science is leading to the discovery of mysticism. The mystics have for eons known about things beyond time and space. Padre Pio was able to be in two places at once. The past, present, and future all exist at the same time. So we're coming back to direct knowing without words. This is the somersault of thought into the inconceivable. 40% of the population has had religious experiences. Forbes magazine reported that 70% of all successful CEOs use their intuition, gut feelings, to make business decisions. Kind of freeing to know that the intuition was right after all, and with the spirit, all things are possible. Frank Sinatra did not sing mathematically correct songs. A voice teacher early in his career would have told him to find another occupation. Our world has become unbalanced. These technological advances are helpful, but we must not deny our spiritual side. The world has become very materialistic. Science before the quantum enigma could only see the material world. Other things matter also, like love, compassion, understanding, sacredness, people, trees, birds, food, and love. But really, quantum mechanics is pointing that God is real and everything is sacred. The cold winter of science is almost over. Now I'd like to close with a poem that I wrote. This is called What If? What if you were more interesting than any novel ever written? What if you were more moving than any song ever composed? What if you were more exciting than any movie ever directed? What if you were more awesome than the largest city on the planet? What if you were cooler than any app ever conceived? What if you were the perfect answer to all our problems and questions? What if inside of you were the Buddha or the Christ, just waiting to show up in this world? Thank you all so much for listening, and thank you, Millard, for the songs. Gather up my carrot and...